Welcome to Crossroads. Good day. Our guest for today is Mr. Juan Carlos Valdivieso. He is a lawyer from Chile and from the firm Morales Ambesa. He focuses his practice on matters related to the energy industry, both in its transactional and regulatory aspects, with experience in project development, financing, M&A, and corporate matters. He joined Morales Ambesa in 2020. Previously, he served as general counsel from Prime Energia and in other firms in Chile and the U.S. Juan Carlos also teaches commercial law at the Universidad Católica School of Law since 2016. Welcome, Juan Carlos, to Crossroads. How are you doing today?
Thank you, Eva, for that introduction, for those kind words, and for having me in the podcast. I'm very well. How are you?
Fine. The topic that we're going to be discussing today is regarding the lack of or the few transmission projects in Chile, which is a big problem. So, Juan Carlos, my first question to you is, why are there very few transmission line projects in Chile?
Transmission has become a big problem for the energy transition here in Chile. It's not necessarily that there are few projects, or I should say, there is no lack of interest. That's not the issue. Actually, there is a consensus that we need more transmission. And as such, there are a lot of new works being projected. But the main difficulty, I would say, which is not exclusive to Chile, that's for sure, is that transmission development usually takes longer than developing generation facilities. And that creates a decoupling between the two segments. And that slow pace in transmission development has been increasing. Permitting, among other causes for that, permitting continues to be a source of headaches for these and other industries.
That was my next question. What roadblocks do these projects face, and for specifically for investors?
So I would say there are two main ones that come to mind. The first, as I mentioned, is permitting, right? Developing infrastructure projects in Chile is taking increasingly more and more time. Getting the permits is very difficult. It takes a lot of time, and the certainty behind the permitting process has been put into question by several industries and several people. That's one thing. And specifically on transmission, there's also some issues with the regulatory structure of how these new projects are proposed, tendered, and then built and operated.
What do you mean when you say there are certain problems in the regulatory process? You mentioned problems with the tenders and other aspects of the regulatory process. Could you be more specific?
Sure. And let me walk you through how this process works in Chile. This process is fairly new, right? So we in Chile passed a new law back in 2016. It's actually called the New Transmission Law, which overhauled the entire regulation of transmission, including the process for its expansion. One of the main drivers behind this new regulation was to ensure open access to the transmission system, avoiding discrimination to projects and aiming at diversifying the grid also. This happened at the same time in which renewables started increasing its participation in the Chilean grid. So one of the main characteristics of our regulation or our regulatory framework as it stands today, it's that the expansion of the transmission system, meaning with expansion, I mean what new projects get built, where and with which characteristics, is led and pushed mainly by public agencies with, I would say, a limited participation or initiative by private stakeholders. And what are the steps here? For people working within the industry and in particular in the transmission segment, this is probably going to be a gross oversimplification, but basically there are three main regulatory bodies involved in the process. You have the Ministry of Energy, the National Energy Commission, or CNE, and the Electrical Coordinator, which is our local ISO or system operator. These three bodies participate in a process that usually takes over a year or several years if you count the entire process to determine which new transmission projects need to be built, both new projects, new substations or transmission lines, and also expansion of existing facilities, for example, to increase their capacity, to add a second circuit in an existing line, etc., or a new bay in an existing substation. So along that process, which is, as I mentioned, mainly pushed by the governmental agencies, the industry can provide comments at different stages, and eventually they can file claims before the panel of experts, which is a body that acts as a court of law, specifically within the energy industry matters. You can file claims before the panel of experts in case your observations throughout this process were, in your opinion, not appropriately settled or assessed, whether because you proposed a new transmission facility that the agencies did not consider, or the other way around, because there's something considered in the expansion plans that you want stricken down. Actually, that's the case when you usually see consumer associations or big consumers, such as mining companies, for example, trying to strike down some of these initiatives. Since by legal design, the consumers are the ones paying for transmission, they will pay for any additional line. They want the system to be very efficient, where only the facilities that are strictly necessary get built. So you end up having this back and forward and push from different sides on whether new transmission facilities are included in this expansion list of expansion projects or are excluded or included, right? So after this whole process ends, you have a final list of projects that is included in a decree published by the ministry. And with that decree, the national coordinator starts an international tender process to award the construction and finally the exploitation of these new transmission projects to any interested bidder. This international tender process, in many cases, have proven successful, but we've seen other processes in which there's no sufficient interest, and either you see very few bids or not sufficient bids, and the process ends up being deemed deserted. But let's assume for a second this is a successful tender process. If you win, you make a bid, you win, then you are awarded the right to build and operate a new transmission facility. What's important here is that you are grandfathered into a remuneration regime where you have access to a fixed tariff dependent on your bid for 20 years, which makes it very interesting and allows the bidders to later finance the construction of these projects.
This looks to me like a very long process.
It is.
How long does it take from the time this gets in the very pre-feasibility phase to completion? It looks like it takes years then.
It varies from case to case. You have projects that are much more complex than others, but for sure. I mean, if you count from really the beginning of the process in which the expansion projects are proposed initially by the coordinator and the CNE, the National Energy Commission, until they are actually built and operational, it takes several years. But let me give you an even more critical example. We have a region here in Chile called the Ñuble region to the south of Santiago. It's actually suffering a lot the lack of transmission. Several other industries are waiting for new transmission lines, and several of the processes of the tender processes for new transmission lines and facilities in Ñuble have been declared deserted. So they have been tendered more than once without anyone bidding or without anyone being awarded the project. For over 5 years, projects that should have been built by now, they haven't even been awarded yet. There are very critical situations like that one.
Let me just ask you about Article 102, which has been mentioned there in Chile.
Article 102 is called 102 because it's actually an exceptional mechanism embedded in Article 102 of General Electricity Law in Chile. It's a mechanism that to approve new transmission projects, but avoiding this whole process that we just described, right? In very few words, companies may propose these urgent transmission facilities or the urgent need for a specific transmission facility to be developed and built. And this proposal is actually a request that undergoes a two-step approval process before first the National Electrical Coordinator and then the Energy Commission. If you get the approval by these two regulatory bodies, in which you have to justify first its urgency and second its necessity, meaning why you think this particular project cannot wait for the whole tender process, right? If you get these two approvals, then you are allowed to build this quote-unquote urgent transmission facility.
And so why is it Article 102 rarely used?
That's a very good question, Eva. I personally have a philosophical issue with how this mechanism is structured, right? I actually had the chance of speaking about Article 102 a couple of weeks ago at the National Conference of Energy Law in Chile, which took place in Punta Arenas. One of the things I mentioned there is that how this mechanism is structured confuses urgency with exceptionality and puts too much focus on the latter. What I mean here is things can be urgent depending on the circumstances. And of course, these circumstances have to be well regulated and as to avoid misuse of the mechanism. So the law and the regulations need to set which are the circumstances under which transmission project can be legally deemed urgent. But in certain scenarios, an urgent thing may not be too exceptional, which is what we're seeing nowadays in Chile. We have several places in Chile where developing new transmission projects urgently. So if there are several, it necessarily means that, at least for today, it's not too exceptional. So when you confuse urgency with exceptionality, you end up putting too much hurdles to actually use this Article 102. But again, that's my take, and that's more a philosophical issue of how the mechanism is structured. But we could waste time discussing philosophical and procedural concerns. But in reality, there's one specific or main reason why Article 102 is not used, and that is an economic incentive one. I mentioned before that when you undergo this whole process of several years, when you end up being awarded a transmission project that was included in an expansion plan that followed the whole process, you have this grandfathered right for a fixed tariff for 20 years. That's not the case with urgent works under Article 102. You do not have the benefit of a 20-year secured tariff remuneration. So there's a lack of incentive for transmission companies. Imagine for a second trying to push for an urgent transmission facility. You get both approvals, and then you try to close a project finance for a transmission facility, but you tell the bank, hey, in 4 years or less, depending when exactly you got the approval, the CNE may end up changing my tariff or my remuneration regime for this particular facility. There's no finance structure with that can accept.
There is a very important project in Chile right now. It's called the Kimalo Aguirre project. It is facing, obviously, potential delays. Could you talk a little bit more about that, about the potential delays the project is facing as a result of all this situation with delays in transmission lines?
Absolutely. And Kimalo Aguirre is indeed a very important project. It's the biggest or the largest transmission facility currently under development. But I think some context is needed first, right? Due to its geography and the way resources are spread throughout Chile, we have a lot of renewable generation up north, mainly solar in the desert of Atacama. But this generation is far away from demand. Big cities in Santiago and down south, and generally from consumption centers, right? This has created a very pressing need to have more transmission capacity connecting those two sites, right? That's where the Kimalo Aguirre project comes into play. The Kimalo Aguirre is a new transmission line over 1,000 kilometers long, the first one of its kind in Chile because it's the first high voltage direct current line of this magnitude that is going to be built in Chile. And its main purpose is basically connecting or strengthening the capacity that we currently have connecting the north and the center-south part of the country, right? That's why it's so important. But again, for the many reasons I've already mentioned, for example, permitting, and you have already started seeing in press releases for the last few months how the project is beginning to stumble across a couple of the permitting hurdles, the project is probably not going to be, I mean, definitely not going to be operational by the initial date considered when the tender was launched, 2028. But in my opinion, probably at least a couple of years after that. But to be honest, the issue of transmission and the problems we have in Chile associated with it go far beyond one specific project, in my opinion.
Let's talk a little bit about, since we have discussed all of these problems with transmission projects, what initiatives is the government proposing to move transmission projects forward? Are they doing something right now?
They are. The government is doing things at a slower pace that we in the industry would like. But, I mean, there are several reasons for that. Not all of them entirely under the control of the government. But I'd like to mention two things here. First, we've mentioned the problems with permitting several times now, right? One piece of good news here is that there seems to be a general consensus now along, I would say, most of the political spectrum, with nuances, of course, but that a consensus that our environmental assessment system and general permitting framework needs some tweaking, and probably more than just some tweaking, right? The government a few months ago, or it was actually several months ago, presented a bill of law proposing changes to this environmental assessment and permitting framework. Of course, the specific of how this should be done are difficult to agree. And immediately after the government presented this bill of law, we saw people in the industry saying it wasn't enough or it wasn't focused on what's important. But I think the fact that we are now discussing this, it's already good news in and of itself. One key issue, in my opinion, here is that we as a country, as an industry, shouldn't be focusing only or entirely on the timing it gets to obtain permits, which is indeed unnecessarily long in many cases, most cases, I would say. But timing, it's not all. Efforts should also be put in reducing the spaces of political discretion in many of these permitting processes, concerning decisions that should be mostly technical, if we're being honest, and also making the whole permitting process more efficient, not only, again, concerning its timings, but also trying to avoid duplication. Nowadays, I've worked with financial institutions, companies developing projects, and I've worked with big funds trying to purchase these projects, and you often see the same issues within the development of projects are assessed at different times in the process by separate agencies with different criteria or focus, and that's definitely not efficient. So hopefully this bill of law continues to be improved, and hopefully it will tackle the appropriate issues. There's still some times and a lot of ways down the road until this becomes an actual law of the country. That's one thing, right? And on the other side, and more specific to our industry, the Ministry of Energy has been pushing for some time now a bill of law called, quote unquote, that's not exactly the name, but it's the Energy Transition and Habilitation of Transmission Law, right? This was presented for the first time last year, during 2023. It contains, among other things, such as incentives for the deployment of energy storage, but it contains several provisions specifically aimed at streamlining the transmission expansion process and tackling most of the issues that we've discussed today. I think there are several good ideas in this bill of law, such as, just as one example, forcing the system operator to analyze in advance the feasibility of actually constructing the planned expansion projects, and not just leaving that for as a concern of the company developing later in the game. Again, that's one example. There are other good things in that bill of law. But in my opinion, the one thing that it still lacks is to give more room to the participation of the private sector in pushing for new projects. We mentioned Article 102 minutes ago, right? Well, this bill of law creates a new mechanism. Let's call it Article 91 bis, because that's the number of the article it is embedded in, which is basically a new separate window. It's like a new Article 102. It doesn't eliminate the existing one, but it creates a new separate window for the approval and development of urgent facilities, right? Outside of the whole years-long tender process. So although it solves one of the main grievances that we have, or the industry has, with Article 102, because it does grant these projects with a fixed 20-year tariff, it continues to be a very complex process with several steps, and depending completely on the initiative of the government and public agencies. No room for private initiative, or very little room. Okay, let's be fair. It's actually, it can be actually funny in some ways, because if you read through the process of how this Article 91 bis is proposed in the Bill of Law, the way the bill is drafted, as of today, it can still change. It says in one part, and I'm paraphrasing here for the sake of time, that once the public agencies decide that a transmission project is urgently needed, they shall prepare a tender process to award its development and construction, and being as efficient as possible and doing this process as little time as possible. Why I find it that funny? Does that mean that currently we are being purposefully slow and inefficient? I know it's a caricature, right? But shouldn't all processes be as efficient and use as little time as possible? It shouldn't only be for quote-unquote urgent projects, right? So that's my view on this transmission project, but it's still pointed in the right direction for sure. We actually got some good news in this past couple of weeks. This specific bill was just approved, thing maybe not last week, but the week before that, was approved by the Mining and Energy Committee at the House of Representatives. So now it continues its constitutional process to become a law. There are still a few steps pending, but apparently the government is optimistic that it will be passed this year for year end. Hopefully there's still some way for additional improvements, but again, it's a step in the right direction.
Well, let's hope that we get a good bill and we can move these projects forward. That's all the questions that we have. I would like to thank you, Mr. Juan Carlos Valdivieso, lawyer with Morales Ambesa in Chile, for participating in Crossroads.
Thank you, Eva and Crossroads. I was very happy to be here. Hopefully, this was all interesting to your listeners.
And we hope to see you and all of our audience again. Thank you very much for coming to Crossroads.